Today was a good day for justice in St. Louis. The people at the Innocence Project have won another one by helping get Antonio Beaver out of jail. He's been there for 10 years after being wrongly convicted in a carjacking case right down here near the Arch Grounds. He was convicted in 1997, sentenced to 18 years in prison. But back in 2001, he filed the paperwork, or his lawyers filed the paperwork, to have some DNA testing done, and the DNA analysis showed that he could not have committed that carjacking. Nina Morrison is one of the lawyers who worked on this. She is from the Innocence Project and joins me live on KMOX now. Hi, Nina.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
As I've said with the six previous times, the Innocence Project has gotten an innocent man out of jail. Today's a good day, isn't it?
It's a good day, but, you know, it's really a bittersweet day. It was a wonderful moment when we got to walk out of the jail with Antonio into the sunshine and walk him into the arms of his family, but it was also a very sad day because, you know, in every step we're aware that he lost 10 years of his life that can never be gotten back. He's looking forward and looking forward to his freedom, but obviously there's a lot of sadness there, too.
What went wrong 10 years ago?
Well, there were a number of things. I mean, one of the things that this case cries out for is the need to reevaluate how we do police lineups in this state and around the country. This was a case in which we think Antonio never should have been convicted. He didn't match the description of the perpetrator in important ways. But most importantly, he was put into a four-person police lineup that was very skewed towards pointing to him. And once the victim was led into picking him out, there was really no turning back. Even when fingerprints from the car were examined that were found not to be hers and not to be his. So there was forensic evidence showing that it probably wasn't him, but because of this eyewitness ID, they went to trial, and just on her belief that he was probably the guy, he lost, you know, 10 years of his life.
Explain to me more what you mean about what was wrong with the lineup. Get specific. What did they do that they shouldn't have done?
Sure. Well, one of the things they did, which goes against, now a lot of this is information that we've learned in the last 15 and 20 years through a lot of social science research, but one of the things that they did was they had a very small lineup with just four people in it. So that really reduces the odds that she's going to pick somebody other than one of the guys in there who's a suspect. The other thing that they did, which was does not consistent with what the best practices are, is they said to her, we have a suspect, he's in the lineup, see if you can identify him. And what that means is she thinks they've got the guy. So if she sees somebody and doesn't think it's the person, she's not going to walk out of there without picking someone because she's going to think she blew the case.
So she's more likely to pick the person who looks most like what she thinks the guy was.
Exactly. Antonio seemed to look the most like him, so she says, well, I think it's him. And she wasn't even sure right away. It took her several viewings before she picked him. But, of course, by the time she gets to court, she's been told he's the guy, and she says, I'm absolutely 100% sure, and the jury believes her.
All right, but let me ask you, what are the police supposed to say when they bring somebody in to do an eyewitness lineup like that? Shouldn't they say something like, well, we think we may have a suspect in here, we want you to take a look at him?
What they actually should say is, we'd like you to come look at a lineup. We're going to see, you know, it's part of our procedure. They actually are supposed to tell her the suspect may or may not be in the lineup so that she's not pressured to pick anybody, right? The guy who did it may or may not be in the lineup. That way she knows that if she honestly says, I don't see him, she's not giving them a wrong answer, and they know to keep looking. There are also some other procedures that we are hoping that the state bar and the courts in Missouri will look at in terms of reforming really even the way lineups are done, so that instead of seeing people side by side where you have a tendency to pick the one who looks most like the suspect, she actually would have seen them one at a time. And that way, if the person really is there, they tend to jump out at you, but you're not making relative judgments about who's the most resembling of the suspect.
So that's something, an ongoing effort to change the way they do that for current and future suspects or defendants, I guess.
Exactly. And today, you know, and what's important to know about this case is that, you know, we were very fortunate in some ways that there was DNA in this case because the victim fought back against the man who carjacked her and literally drew blood from him using his own weapon. But if she hadn't done that, there wouldn't have been any blood in the car and there would have been no DNA to test. But that doesn't mean that a misidentification didn't happen. So that's why it's really important going forward.
With Antonio walking out, an innocent man finally going free, does it also mean that a guilty man's been walking around free for the last decade?
That's certainly what it means. I mean, that's why this is a win, not just for our office, but for everyone in the community who cares about justice and also for law enforcement. I understand that Ms. Joyce's office has identified a suspect based on the DNA results, and they're actively pursuing it. The other thing I took great comfort in today was Ms. Joyce said at our press conference that she wants to be a leader in looking at lineup procedures and in doing whatever she thinks is appropriate to reform them. So we're going to be talking to her in the next few weeks about some things that we think she might want to consider, and hopefully she will take the lead on making sure reforms happen in
That's
Missouri.
Jennifer Joyce, the St. Louis Circuit Attorney here. Now, under Missouri law that was passed a few years ago after the Innocence Project helped get some other guys out, they now get some money from the state, right?
That's correct. He has two options. He can seek the state compensation, which is $50 a day for every day that he was in prison, which is certainly helpful and better than what a lot of states do, but that only works out to about $180,000 in his case. And given all he went through and how many hours he was in prison, it's less than minimum wage for the time he spent in living in hell. So that's one option. That's a quicker route, and it's guaranteed. The other is he'll need to consult with a lawyer, not in our office, but an outside lawyer, to see if he does have a case for a federal civil rights action, in which case he can sue. But if he does that, he has to give up his right to the state compensation, so it's a difficult decision.
I hear that after your press conference today, he wanted to go to Hodak's and have some chicken.
He did, and actually the manager at Hodak's gave us all a free lunch. They were really lovely and very welcoming to him, and we had a great meal. He had chicken and shrimp, and then needed to go home and take a nap because he was so exhausted.
I bet, and plus he was full of chicken and shrimp.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a nap after a meal at Hodak's.
You know, he told me he hadn't even had hot food in years, much less food that good.
I'm sure he was very happy with that. Well,
the other thing I did just want to say, too, since you asked about compensation, there is a wonderful lawyer who we work with sometimes in Clayton named Rick Sindel, S-I-N-D-E-L, who has offered to use his office to set up a fund for Antonio. If any of your listeners would like to make donations to him, 100% will go directly to him while he gets back on his feet. You know, he walked out today with literally the clothes on his back. He's going to live with some relatives for a while, but he has no housing, no job, no car, no money for gas, cell phone, all the things we take for granted. And if folks would like to look at Mr. Sindel's office in Clayton, they'll be receiving donations on his behalf.
That's great information. Thank you very much, Nina.
Sure, thank you.
Nina Morrison, one of the attorneys from the Innocence Project to help get Antonio Beaver out of jail, an innocent man who spent 10 years behind bars for a crime he did not commit. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.